So far that we study about Elijah and Elisha, especially the portion that we now studying the Elisha. So all the miracle, it all doesn't make sense as a human way. If you read the Bible, pretty much most of them doesn't make sense. Yeah, that's Bible. If it makes sense, then something not right. So we study that something doesn't make sense actually, because God always show His glory through His logic and not our logics. Yesterday we found that these verses. Who found this? Isaiah chapter 55. Who found this verse? You find that, right? 55 from verse 6. 6 to 11. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him, and to our God. For He will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, declare the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thought that your thought. For as the rain and the snow came down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower, and the bread to the eater. 11. So shall my words be which goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me empties, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I send it. This is what the God says. Let us remember that our way and God's way is always different. So anytime that when you encounter any problem, do not try to solve your matter with your ways, but trying to bring this matter to God. So let the God solve the problems. This is that way we can experience of God. Anything the matter that you solve the way your ways, when you kneel down and pray to God, you feel that you solve the problem. So you cannot glorify God. So when you bring this matter, any problem or any matter, bring to the Lord, and He solve your problem, then your matter, your problem also will be solved. At the same time, you can have experience of God. So it's a two, or a benefit for both of ways. Let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. Second Kings chapter 6 verse 1 to 7. Anybody volunteers? Thank you. Wow, very fast. here, this the axe head is recovered by the prophet Elisha. When the his servant, I asked to, because I think the place is too small, so that they want to build the big one, I guess, expand the big one, and then they borrow the ox, not ox, axe, to borrow, and then near to the Jordan River, I guess. So they cut the trees from there, but then it fell a beam, so the axe head come out of it and then fall into the water. So it's impossible to pick this axe out of the water. The human point of view, at that time there's no any diving equipment, so it's impossible to pick up this one. So only possible is God's way. When we look at here, they asked that, because this is borrowed from somebody else, they have to return this axe to the owner. But it's impossible. This is really impossible things. How Elisha to help them is very interesting way. The verse 5 and 6. But as one who fell beam and axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, Elsa, my master, for it was borrowed. Then the man of God said, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made an iron flood. And verse 7, and he said, take it up and for yourself. So he put out his hand and took it. This is not a human logic. This is it's a very foolish way to have done. When you look at think about it, in axe, now in under the water bottom, and then what the man of God did is what is it here? It says when cut off a stick and threw it in there, and made the iron flooded. Human logic is impossible to understand this one. Remember, because when in our life, sometimes we made a mistake. You made a mistake, I made a mistake. But when we make the mistake, how we can handle this matters? When you bring this one to the Lord, cry to God. Once God helps you, and you can see how God worked with you to solve these problems. And many times when we see that how God solved the problem is very, we can say, miraculous way, beyond our understanding way. God solved the matter in that direction. Let's look at the similar, maybe kind of instant, Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 to 9. Any brother? You volunteered to read? Numbers chapter 21, verse 4 to 9.
Until
9?
Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and shall be that anyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. Verse 9. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on the pole, and so it was. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived.
So in this passage, can you see the similarity between this story and the one the axe that it floated to pick it up by the servant? Can you see there's a connection? Are you talking about different things, do you think? He said, "Think here. The Israelites they make journey to the land of Canaan, and on the way, because of the way is rough, and then there is no water and then no food, so they complain to God, which is their mistake. They're supposed not to do that. That what way the journey is for fulfill the will of God actually. So on the way." They, because of the heart, it cannot satisfy, so they complain to God. And then God sent the fairy, he has sent the fairy servants, so they start to bite the people and they kill them. And then people start to cry to Moses, we commit sins, because we did the mistake. And then he asked the Moses, pray for us, so save us from these fairy servants. And then here, then Moses, what he did, he made this with the bronze serpent, so let's put it with a pole and stick there, and ask people to look at this serpent. Then everybody who look at the serpent, they all survived. They were healed. So their mistake, which is to be healed, which is the way back to normal their life. At the beginning, they made a mistake, but back to normal. So. Story this one and story the other one that the axe headed that recovered is quite similar. They can see the similar ones. Also, in our church, how our church can prosper in the United States. Sometimes we made a mistake too. You know, the true Jesus church. Do not be prospered by the human ways. True Jesus Church, only the way, by the God's way, can be prospered. So, true Jesus Church should not be like a company styles. True Jesus Church should be by the Holy Spirit. Moved by the Holy Spirit, powered by the Holy Spirit, then prospered. So we have to rely on the Holy Spirit, we rely on the God. It's not we rely on our human way, the human logics. Many times we're trying to rely on the human logics. It seems it works at the beginning, but toward the end, cannot work. God knows how can handle the church. God is the only one can see our futures. God is the only one can help our church properly. We have to rely on God. God knows the best way. It's not the we, but God knows the best way. Let's look at the 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25 to 29. Chapter 1, verse 25 to 29. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the wickedness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. 28. The base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are. 29. That no man should boast before God. God's way is always different. God's way is always in His way. Yeah. Chapter 2, verse 5. That your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. If we rely on God, whatever that we mistake, that our intention, your intention of your life also, because your life, if your way to trying to prosper, it never work. So you have to rely on the God's way to let your life to be prosper, so that God can work with us. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 6. Second Kings chapter 6, verse 14 to 19. Sister Said, would you read that? It's 14 to 19. Chapter 6, verse 14 to 19. Before I mention this one, I'd like to share with you about how the True Jesus Church in Korea they established at the beginning. The one or two the member they received the truth from the, I think it's the Taiwan and the Japan, and that they came to Korea. It's about 1950 around at that time, and they came to Korea start to preach the gospel. They do not have enough material to understand our church truth. Just simply they understand the little knowledge about the Bible. But they have a true heart. So they start to preach the gospel, but it's just a small room and not many people gather together. But every time when they kneel down and pray together, one by one, the Holy Spirit rebuild the truth. So each time they rebuild the truth, they start to bring this, gather together the information. So later on it come up that our church, these doctrines come out later on. So how the church in Korea, they build up the knowledge about our church doctrines and about God and everything by the Holy Spirit. Also, the many miracles come up at that time. And many times, many members, they were encouraged by the Holy Spirit. There's during the service, there's many they don't have electricity at that time, so the lamp, oil lamp, is in some of the place, and sometimes during the prayer, those who are gifted and stand up and walk around to the go to the one the person, and then that member to close the eyes, but then by the guidance of the Holy Spirit go there, and then say the Bible verse two times. This is what my father told me how they at the beginning the church. So what happened is every time when they gather together in the meeting place, they're so scared actually. They really fear God. So through their life, they have to be cleansed themselves. So if they not, somehow that during the prayer, this gifted sister and walk through in front of you, then you're scared. Father says, if they pray, then she come in front of him, then he's scared. It, because the word of God is truly directly come to you. So that was later on, after they finished the prayer, they opened the Bible. Many times the Bible verse truly edified, the meetings. So from the beginning to the end, completely guided by the Holy Spirit. So edify the member and give them a true encouragement. So they start to build up their faith and their knowledge in this manners at the beginning. There are many miracles happen at the beginning, so church can start to expand, naturally. It's not the human way. This is truly it's a God's way. So what I now hear, my message is, we need many things. We need a person with a full of wisdom and intelligence to apply the gift to the church. But our attitude wise, we should not rely on that. We rely on God. Yeah. What my saying is not to trying to be one side, to the left and to the right. So do not misunderstand the message. But our focus is rely on God first. If Holy Spirit start to work, then rest of them naturally be provided. This is what my message is. And 2 Kings here, chapter 6, verse 14 to 19. At this time, this is the story that the king of Aram, I think possibly this is Ben-Hadad, I think. He trying to attack the Samaria. But each time he trying to attack the Samaria, the man of God tell the king of Israel, they will attack it this way, so protect them. So each time they're trying to attack, but every time when they go there, already the Israel army to protect. So they couldn't make it. So the king think that possibly that there is a spy now within us. But then one of them told him, not because of that, because a man of God is in Samaria. So then he sent the army to trying to catch him. So from verse 14, here, this is like, it's not the big scale of the army, but some scale that enough to circle around the Dothan and then to trying to catch the man of God. But then here, the verse 15, now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with the horses and chariot was circling the city. And his servant said to him, else my master, what shall we do? This is the servant response, because it's kind of a desperate. Now the man of God, and I think it's his house, is I think a circle round, circled by the army of Aram. So on the human point of view, it is impossible to get away. He's already circled by the enemy. So verse 16, so he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. This is a true faith. The army circle around Elisha. But he knows the mighty army protecting him. He has such confidence, because the spiritual eyes opened and saw it already. Verse 17, then Elijah prayed and said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes, that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And then verse 18, Elisha prayed to God, let them to be blind, so they become blind. But here the Elijah, we can also can see the Elijah's generous heart, and they lead them. Here's verse 19. Elijah said to them, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he brought them to Samaria. He brought this army and treat them well. So later they went back and they never attacked them. This is what this whole story until verse 23. In our life, we need also open the spiritual eyesight. We need a spiritual eye can see so that we can secure, we can feel our joy and a confidence in our life. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 verse 8. Matthew chapter 5 verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is a wonderful promise. This is one of a beatitude. This is it's a promise to us. Say that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Many times the hindrance of our prayer is a sin. And the sin always bothers our prayer, our Christian life. So each time we have to pray to God to remove. We have to repent each moment when we commit sins that we have to remove out of us. When we have Q&A session last night and today, some of you asked about the question, the matters. I do not know your situations. Many times we are afraid to bring up this kind of question, even though it's your matter. So say as well as a friend. But remember, important thing is your repentance. If you truly repent in the sight of God, this is a true matter. You are between you and God. If you truly repent, you will be comforted by the God. This is answer from God. If you are a situation that you commit sins, you have to fully repent completely in the sight of God. This is the first matter. You have to do it. Also, when you turn on the computers and go into the internet, or when you see the magazines, or when you look at the when you watch the all the cable TVs, nobody knows, but only one God knows. If any of you commit sins from your heart and also through this, try to repent directly, right away. You know how the David survived? Because of that. His sin is truly the one of so serious sins. But he repented right away, right the moment. Do not wait, the postponing his repentance. Repentance is so precious. We studied, just before, but King Ahab, he's the one, such kind of a evil king. When you read the Second King, toward the chapter 10, wonderful story come out, and he and his son were killed, and his 70 sons all were killed, eliminated out of the world, because they come true. That the judgment. But still, evil king, even though Ahab is an evil king, he repent. Do you remember when the king Ahab repent after he took Naboth's a vineyard, and then later on through Elisha to what is it pronounced for the judgments. And then he repented. Or Elijah. He repented right away. At the moment, God heard his repentance. So that judgments not come true to his generation, but the next generation. It come true later on. If you read the second king, it happened later on. Sam. Repentance is important. No matter who we are, if we sincerely repent in the sight of God, then we can secure. We have to do our best. And repentance is the only way we can draw near to God. We can secure our salvation also. So we can cleanse ourselves. Let's turn to First John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse 12. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfect in us. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. Second way we can see God, we can open our spiritual eye through the love. You know the story of Lemmy Gerable, right? There's a one, John Burgeon is the main character. Though he, Lemmy Gerable. He stole the bread, eat and cut by the, he became imprisonment. And later on come out, and no way to go. So he went. He get into church. Is it church? There. But the next morning he stole the silver candlesticks. Yeah. Is it right? Let me see. Yeah. And then he also later on caught by the police. So he brought him to the church, and then asked the minister, is that the one this man stole from your place? Because this police is full of confidence. This time I caught him, so I can put him into jail. And then the minister says, no. I gave it to him. This is a love. At that love turned his heart changed. Love. Love is the love. If any justice there's no love, then this justice cannot stand alone. So love should be behind. Love should be the bottom, the foundation. And then the justice stands. When Jesus died on the cross, his justice stands. Why? Because his love supported his justice. That's why. Yeah. Let's go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 40. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? I think the third way, we can open our spiritual eyes through the faith. With a clean heart, with the love, with the faith, we can see God. I hope that all the brothers and sisters have this precious, these three things. So every time when you encounter difficulties, or when you're desperate situation, still you kneel down when you pray, so you can see God, so you can experience of God. Just like Elisha, have such a wonderful confidence, even though his enemy circle around his place, but still have a confidence because his spiritual eyesight was opened. Throughout our daily life, we have to encounter many many different kind of situation we are situated. Each time if we are panic, then there's a life has not much of a joy. We have to always, you know, have to be more, life itself is very tiresome. But we know that God is with us. We can see God, then we can secure our life, then we can have a peace. So this is our privilege, we can say that. Let's go to the next one. 2 Kings chapter 6. Oh, before I go this one. Because I make a chart, I mean the draw here, but I like to explain, you know, just this is a okay. Because I like to compare with the two cases, with this one and the Apostle Paul. Their eye was open at that time, but they were enemy of God at that time, both of them. Because the Paul also persecuted the Christians, he think he know God, but at that time, although his eyes was open, but actually, his spiritual eyes was closed. That's why he persecuted the Christians. The army, the Aram army, also same thing. Because when I look at these two, it's quite similar. So I like to just compare these two. At the beginning, Paul, he's an enemy of God, and this also, Aram army also the enemy of God, enemy of man of God also. But Paul came to the Damascus, trying to persecute the Christians, and then God strike the Jesus strike the through the light, and he fell down and become a blind. And after 3 days, and then his eyes was opened. And then after open, and then he received the baptism and Holy Spirit, and his life is changed. How he changed? How and then why he become a great apostle? Because he understand the love of God. Still, the Apostle Paul is the one always against the God's way. And he's truly like the evil one, but still God loves him, accepted him to be used for his tool. So he can dedicate himself to the Lord. So this motivation has come from the love of God, this process. Here the army, the Aram army, also quite similar way. And these people always hostile. You know, if you look at the Bible, Aram always the enemy of Israel somehow, and they always bother Israel. And this time, because they want to attack the whole, destroy the whole nation, but because of man of God, they couldn't make it. So the army, the king decide to circle the man of God's house, but the man of God asked God to let them to be blind, so they become a blind. So lead these people to the inner city of Samaria, which is it's already the king of Samaria. So let me kill them. Let me strike them. We just can easily kill them. But no, they treat them well. Then give them a food. So they treat them well, and then they learn hospitality of the man of God and the Samaria. So after they send them back, they never say the Bible said not. Back, you know, attack them back. But later on, they attacking anyway. But this is a little different. So what I guess only from here to there, I'm talking about these two is quite similar. So I like to just share the similar patterns. This is very helpful because when you deliver sermons, when you that kind of combination that helps you to help you to explain to the audience and other members. Now, 8:30. I like to finish up because I want to share the 10 minutes. There's several more, but I hope you can read one more time all this, the second King chapter 2 and chapter 1 through the till chapter 13, so you can see the life of Elisha at the same time, how God punished the King Ahab and his household, and also God also managed how the Israel, how to treat them. So that might help you. I want to share the 10 minutes. If you have any questions on throughout the today's lectures, you can ask. Anybody? Yeah. Oh, two bears. Yeah. I like that. So it's not a fair, you mean? But you know, the God's plan is very, somehow we cannot understand. Later, this king died too. You know, because they attacked the Samaria. So God punished them too. So, but the interesting thing is that the king here, this king is later on when he ill, he asked Elisha whether his illness will be healed or not. But the king of Israel do not ask to him, but ask somebody else. That's a problem. But this king died, his own people, own men later. Oh, back to questions. That mercy, I don't. When you look at the Second King chapter 2:23, this story, two bears came out to kill the 42 people, 42 young men, because they despise God. And this is a little. If you look at this story, this one doesn't have that much of an idea about God. Don't you think so? But their people in the 42 is different. Way they saying the go up, you know, go up the bald head, go up and bald head. Think about it. How much they already understand. They already know that the news that the Elisha went up to heavens, disappeared. So they still do not despise this Almighty God. So that way they can kind of. Way to like mocking to the Elisha. It's not that mocking to Elisha, but it's kind of despising God actually. So that sin is more serious, definitely. Yeah, that's my understanding. Anybody? Hope this. Because I prepare all this for the Korean, some portion actually I couldn't convey to you. Hopefully later on, my English better than I can share with you. Any questions? Any more? Okay, if you don't have questions, unless we go on to the prayer sessions. This is one of island in Indonesia called Bali Island, and people saw one of a because there's a saying that the people in Java, they're always happy. They always content themselves. Why these people so much of a so much happy all the time? So one man went to this island. So personally interview with the people there, and then these people talk to this man. The five things. Number one, we have nothing. That's the first answer. We have nothing, which is a very primitive, situation. So the first answer is, we have nothing, which is their life is very simple life. It's not like us. This is the truth. This is the truth. In order to obtain the spiritual sight, in order to obtain the spiritual joy, this is the first prerequisite that I can say that way. You know who has a rich man and came to Jesus Christ and kneeled down. How can I obtain the eternal life? And Jesus talked to him, says, you keep all the commandment of God, then you will have eternal life. And this man said, I keep all the commandment of God from the early age. He's a really sincere man. Because he knows what the commandment of God. He tried to keep all the commandment of God. But what Jesus is saying is in his heart. Because he cannot give up. He cannot give up what his hands, material things in his hands. So he cannot give up. So later on, sell all your property and give it to the poor and neighbors and you follow me. He couldn't follow Jesus Christ. Why? Because he couldn't give up this one. Sometimes we don't have nothing, considered a great benefit to us. Now I ask you, all the brother and sister here, young brother and sister, it doesn't mean that I ask all of you to be poor all the time. You don't need a house, so you put your paper house or things like that. You don't have to drive in a good car, so you just find out the worst car in the USA. So every day you have to fix and make sounds very loud things. It's not that means. I'm talking about your attitude. That you truly can give up most precious one to the Lord. This is what I'm talking about. Can you give up? Can you give up? You don't have to raise your hands, but I sincerely ask you, can you give up? Now you can ask yourself. Something the most precious one that you think now in your heart. Because of God asked you to give up that one. So can you give up now? If you give up, then thank God. You can be qualified to be the follower of Jesus Christ. You can be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Second one is our life is very related. Our life is simple. Because think about it. We have nothing. That means our life is simple. Yeah. When you go up to the mountains, climb up to the mountain, then space is smaller and smaller and smaller with your space to work around. Is it true? But once we go up to the top of the mountain, only small space, definitely the limited space. But your eyesight is far. You can see the far side. When a person, walk around the mountains and they lost the way, how you can find your way to get out of the situation to survive, have to go up to the mountains. The same thing is applied in our Christian life. Make our life simple. And that's the way. We like and love each other. Love gives us comfort, and love gives us encouragement. Love gives us peace and joy. Let us not to criticize each other, especially our True Jesus Church. Let us to be one mind all the time. We can support each other and help each other, so that when the love of God come out, then everybody get the benefit out of it. And the fourth one is we have enough to eat. How can I explain this? We have enough to eat. The island, I think, is full of food, I guess. I can tell you this one. We also have enough to eat because we have a Bible. This is a spiritual food. And Jesus promised us, this is living bread. You eat it, then you can have eternal life. This is the Bible. So we have enough of food. And fifth one, we live a beautiful island, he says. We live a beautiful island. Is it Bali Island? Is it beautiful? Well, she says beautiful because she came from there. So it's pretty, it's right. We live on a beautiful island. Truly we live in a beautiful island. The church is a spiritual garden of Eden. We have it here. Here's 120 year brother and sister. We gather together here. We are such wonderful family. And remember, we all these people, if we believe in God, we endure our life and we make a victory in our Christian life, then we all these people go to the kingdom of God. Yeah, this is the truth. So we can also be happy. We can have a joy all the time. I hope that all the brothers and sisters, this is my the last words here. Keep this truth and holding this faith until the last day of our life. There is a temptation out there, but do not be tempted. Do not exchange with your precious salvation with something else. This precious salvation cannot compare with anything else. Why Jesus died for us? Because of our salvation. When He died for us, when He walked up to the Jerusalem, He has a mission that He holding the bitter cups. Why He want to hold the bitter cups? Because of us. When He died on the cross, when the nail onto His hand, that pain He bear with Him. Why? Because of our sin. Because He want to save our soul. And now we are here. We got the salvation. Do not let it wastely, to let it go. Holding this one until the last day. Oh, God protect you, each one of you. God guide you by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray together.